What's up, everyone? Welcome to another podcast episode on the Luke Mind Power Podcast. It's going to be an amazing episode because we have another special guest with us. And today I'm joined with Charlene Shah, is a CEO of Marius Pharmaceuticals, often referred to as the metabolic CEO. Spent years working in hormone replacement therapy space, particularly around testosterone, and has been vocal about addressing the growing conversation around low testosterone levels in both men and women. And in this episode, we're going to explore the science, the controversy, the bigger picture around hormone health and what people should really understand beyond the headlines. So I just want to personally welcome Charlene to the Luke Mind Power Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Absolutely. Cool. So let's get straight into it. Before the business, what made this really personal for you?
So, you know, like a lot of folks, you kind of discover a personal problem and then you find a solution to it. And that was the same thing with me. So always been into general health and wellness, played a lot of sports, growing up, stayed relatively fit for a mid, you know, throughout the 20s and so forth. But when I hit 30, again, I went ahead and got my testosterone levels checked, as most people should, but don't. It was a bit of a struggle with my primary care to get that test done. But again, lo and behold, I was at this lower end of normal. And
What inspired you initially to do that? Like, why would you go, I'm 30, I need to check my testosterone levels?
So it's kind of the early precursors of the blood testing that folks do now, right? Like labs. People are doing labs multiple times a year now.
Yeah.
And that's become a concept to sort of monitor your health. And that's sort of essential for preventive health, right? So I was just before that. That was just earlier time for me. And I was conscious of that early on. And again, that's when I discovered what was going on. And it was sort of eye-opening at that time. Again, it wasn't that I was symptomatic or anything, right? You're just kind of peeling back the layers there and understanding what testosterone does. And I don't think I fully understood the ramifications or the scope back then. But then, of course, as I got into the business, you dive deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's when I really started, you know, over the years, started to see how big it was. And that's even continuing today.
So it wasn't necessarily that you were feeling tired or low on energy, because what is the lack of testosterone? What is that doing to our bodies anyway? Are we supposed to be feeling lethargic or unhappy or depressed or, you know?
Those are certainly symptoms and manifestations of low testosterone, right? So often, as you mentioned, depression, right? A high percentage of patients that are actually on SSRIs or diagnosed with depression do have testosterone deficiency. It's just not standard protocol to check hormone levels before starting, again, an SSRI. The lethargy, right? The tiredness. Again, granted, I'm talking about an earlier age when I went and investigated this, but most people chalk that up to normal aging. Well, I'm getting older. I should feel tired. Right? And then again, also, as much as we're trying to educate and help people understand that testosterone is not solely a sexual health issue or a libido issue, and it's not just a muscle building issue, those two are also very prevalent signs, right? Especially in the older male category, libido is probably number one that comes up, right? It's not always erectile dysfunction is the problem. Libido too is often a driver for men seeking out a testosterone therapy. But again, it's not the end all be all. And same with the muscle, right? You're getting older. It's harder to put on muscle. Your fat, especially your adipose around your midsection, increases. These are all signs and symptoms. That said, what's happening to our body underneath that is also very important, right? You may say you're not experiencing the symptoms, right? You might be asymptomatic, which is usually not the case, but does happen. There's still an androgen receptor on every organ in the body. Right. So you want to be, so they're there for a reason. They start processes across the body, whether it's the brain, heart, again, like I mentioned, bone, muscle, fat, metabolism, et cetera. Even insulin sensitivity is driven also by testosterone levels. So that's why it's so important to test your levels and understand where you are, whether that's your baseline or if you're truly deficient, because just like, you know, things like vitamin D, which is a hormone that we treat pretty regularly now, right? Or you're looking at other, you know, nutrients across the body. You don't want to be deficient in vital things. And the same goes for testosterone.
Would you compare testosterone to peptides? Like, I just recently had an interview with Jay Campbell, who is apparently obviously pretty big with peptides right now. He mentioned testosterone as well. So, you know, is that something to be compared to, or, you know, how do you see that?
I would say complement. I wouldn't say compared to. So when you look at I talk a lot about a longevity pyramid, and, you know, you have the bottom, which are the non-negotiables, diet, rather, I think nutrition is a better word, sleep, stress, and exercise. These are things that you must do pretty much every day and aim for every day if you want to, you know, be healthy, right? And then above that is the hormone layer. So your hormones really need to be in line, then again, for all these processes that I mentioned across the body to be active and functioning properly. Above that sits the peptide layer, right? So, you know, if you reverse the two, you couldn't reverse the two. You couldn't say, hey, look, let's give you all these peptides, but your hormones are not working. The peptides wouldn't be as effective and you wouldn't really get the benefits that you need because you have suboptimal layers. Just like if I said, hey, let's give you all these hormones, but you're not doing any of the non-negotiables. You don't sleep really well. You don't exercise. You eat terribly. That reversal would not work. So it's similar again when it comes to peptides. You fix the hormone layer first, and then the further optimization from the peptides sits above that.
So the hormone layers are from the testosterone?
Primarily. I mean, for a male, yeah, that is certainly one of the key hormones.
So when people hear the word testosterone, I mean, if I hear it, I'm like, yeah, that's for men.
Right.
So
but it's a female hormone as well.
Yeah. How much do females need testosterone?
It's the recognition is growing tremendously, right? So we've had a lot of breakthroughs for female hormone therapy in the last 12 months. This has been led by the current administration, current FDA. So they removed all of the black box warnings off of HRT therapies for female, which they have been fighting for decade plus, or actually, I mean, frankly, it's been 2 decades since the Women's Health Initiative back in 2002, which really kicked 2 decades worth of females off of hormone therapy, right? But now testosterone is becoming a part of that equation because the clinical evidence is there. The anecdotal, you know, I don't want to say stories, the anecdotal evidence is there as well. And females need this. They have about 4 to 5 times the amount of testosterone as they do estrogen in their body, right? So, and similar to a male, they play a role in all of these functions across the body. So same thing, there's no reason why they should not be tested and treated if appropriate.
So let's go back to when you were 30, because obviously there's a story behind, you know, initiative, your passion, your the fact that you're doing here, speaking about it, sharing it. Has it created some sort of, or did create some sort of void in your life, or you went through some sort of challenge that you had to overcome, and now this is, you know, spruiking and sharing because you're just like, nah, man, like this is serious shit. Like I went through this and, you know, it's important for you to be aware.
So it's a combination, and I'll be totally honest that I did not feel this huge drag on my life. So I'm lucky, right? Honestly, I'm lucky. I saw this, I recognize it, but I wasn't going through a difficult time, to be honest. But I do talk to a lot of patients that are, and the whole system is really warped because there's this huge stigma around it, right? Even if you talk to your, you know, and it's getting better, that I will say. I think men today are more open to talking about it with their, let's call it their friends, right? To say, hey, look, I'm on testosterone. Why don't you go get tested and whatnot? Men have this general problem of not wanting to go to the doctor, and, you know, that's a whole other issue. But what I see out there is still a very stigmatized space. I see a lot of myths that have not been corrected yet. And thus, I see the impact on the general male population being overall net negative. We could be a lot healthier if we fixed these things. And we're not talking about a pharmaceutical intervention that is manipulating things in your body and turning off other things while turning things on and having side effects at large. We're talking about something that's natural to your body, replacing that, making sure it's there. So again, if we can, and that's why, honestly, again, it is such a passion project, is because it's a simple fix that we're ignoring. And you look at the trends of the overall health of the population, especially on the male side, men die 7 years younger than females, right? Like, again, why aren't we looking at this simple fix? That's what really inspires me to go out there and talk so other folks can take action.
Yeah. So what are some of the myths? You said, you know, like there's some myths out there. What are they?
Again, I would start with, this is only for sexual health and this is only for muscle building, right? This whole concept that this is, you know, doing steroids, right? I mean, testosterone is a controlled substance here in the US today. And that happened as a result of the 88 Olympics. So Congress in 90 scheduled testosterone, banned it effectively, because of doping in the Olympics. But what's important to remember, and again, and it's kind of continued throughout sports, ball, right? Like that was a big thing. But two things, it's important to remember that like anabolic steroids are, there's a whole bag of them. And testosterone is thrown into that bucket. But testosterone alone is not the... I wouldn't call it the problem child.
So is testosterone legal or not?
Oh, it's legal, of course. Yeah, I mean, you need a prescription. It's just the way that
You need a prescription.
You need a prescription. And then the way that a controlled substance is logistically handled here in the U.S., it increases the scrutiny a lot higher. So, for example, a doctor that sends in a prescription needs to register it with sort of like a public data bank.
Yeah.
So,
It's just something came up while you were talking, because in my previous interview with Jay about peptides, I mentioned to him, you know, 12 years ago, I did a 12-week cycle on anabolic steroids, and I remember having to inject it, and one of the vials was test. It was called test.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm making an assumption that that was testosterone.
It very well could be, but hearing that, my initial inclination is it could be a compound, maybe. Right? Because if it was testosterone only, right? And if it came from, honestly, a legit pharmacy, it would say testosterone. It's never said test on a official vial, if you will, right?
Yeah.
Or even on our bottle, they would say testosterone undecanoid, the proper drug name, right? You know, with these things, and to be honest though, what's unfortunate for, again, a mass market population, 25 million men in the US are low testosterone or hypogonadal, right? This steroid use is such a small percentage, and they go through these other channels where you're saying, you know, it's good that you're sharing to say, hey, look, it just said test, right? Like, those are not normal distribution channels. So the abuse that may happen, and let's just call it that, which, you know, it's not through typical channels. So the typical channel is getting restricted, and normal men are not able to get their prescriptions because the physicians don't want the extra liability. Even the pharmacies, we've dealt with many pharmacies that say, yeah, we won't carry a controlled substance because we have to do extra work and we don't want to do that and so forth. So the regular guy is getting affected.
What do you think is the decline? What do you think is the major decline in the reason why, whatever it is that, I mean, the whether it's pharmaceuticals, whether it's vitamins, whether it's powders, whether it's there's just so much shit out there that's available for you to be healthier. 100 years ago, and there was no such thing.
You just walk. You just carried on your life, and you'll be fine.
We're even on social media now. I just constantly, and I've stopped actually scrolling so much because I'm seeing so many posts that it's like a new research study, and researchers or scientists have found that this, or just all these posts about, you should do this, and this is going to help you, and this is, and it's almost like you can go crazy.
It's overload with absolutely
so much information and so many possibilities of what could help you and what can help you be healthier. So how do you what's the problem?
So, well, two things there, right? And to that comment, I strongly believe in simplification. Right? There is too much out there, and you can't keep up with it because, one, you know, all sorts of information. You have to think about the vetting. You have to think about the depth of those studies and what the actual data is. Then you also have to think about where it's coming from, right? Like, we live in a world that, I hate to say it, you can't trust everywhere it's coming from. But so you have to be thoughtful of it.
Charlotte, most of these posts, I've screenshotted these posts and put them in ChatGPT. And I'm not saying that ChatGPT knows everything, right? But chuck it in AI and say, is that true?
Uh-huh.
And I have got responses from ChatGPT saying it's not 100% correct. Like, it's excessive or something that. Like, it's not true.
It's exaggerating. Or it's exaggerating.
That's what I mean. It's over-exaggerated, you know?
Yeah. No, and that's unfortunate. Again, because the layman is not doing that, is buying it, right? And then buying the supplement and so forth. So, I mean, frankly, people are flushing money down the toilet doing a lot of this stuff. Because again, you have to think about, this is one of my concepts, is livable longevity, right? What's the routine that you can do every day? And even someone like myself who's super dialed into this, is sometimes I get to points where I'm like, the routine has gotten excessive. We need to dial it back. Let's simplify what we're doing here. And not at the sacrifice of the goal or better health. It's just, what do we really need, right? Like, diet, sleep, stress, exercise. Let's focus on that. And because most of the people, honestly, are not doing that, right? They're looking for this shortcut. And that's what, I hate to say it, what peptides have gotten to a little bit today. Or people are saying, well, this is the new miracle. If I just start doing these peptides, I'm going to achieve the thing that I never achieved with my hard work. Right? It's terrible. Honestly, I don't know another way to describe
almost
it.
Almost like an easy way out in a sense, right?
But it's not. It's not going to work.
No, but that's what it's making it sound like it's an easy way out. So if testosterone is something that's naturally produced in the body, what is stopping our bodies from producing it?
What's changed? Yeah. So it's a good question. So it's twofold, right? One is absolutely lifestyle related. So, you know, if you look at the health of the population has declined throughout, increased obesity, increased type 2 diabetes. And these things are bidirectional, right? Sometimes they're driving testosterone deficiency. Sometimes testosterone deficiency is driving that XYZ disease. So that's bi-directional. And there's a certain amount of lifestyle that can be fixed that will help. That doesn't dramatically improve T levels, because the second part of this is environmental factors. So if you think about what's in our, you know, our water and our food system, or you think about microplastics today, right? I mean, they've found it in there have been studies that have found microplastic fragments in male testicles. So, you know, it is everywhere. It's in our brain and so forth. So these are driving these environmental factors, endocrine disruptors. Then also, if you think of our habits, sleep, right? Like, we're scrolling before bed. Hormone production happens at night. This god-awful habit, which even I'm guilty of sometimes, is this light and screens before bed is really messing up our hormone production. So some stuff is under our control. We should try and do those things. But I think just like, other things that we see, some of these other things are so pervasive. You can, again, if you don't like microplastics, you could say, I'm never going to drink out of a plastic bottle again, right? Sure, that's a good step. It's not going to solve your problem. You're still going to be exposed to this. No, almost no matter what you try. And this is the difference between the social media that you mentioned and real science, right? I have friends that work at NIH and have been doing these studies for 10, 20 years. They kind of laugh about it when we say, hey, look, I'm making these adjustments to try and reduce my exposures. He's like, you're never getting it out. Like, we've done the work. And it's a little scary because they don't get to talk about it as much. And I think that's a bit challenging for the public. Obviously, there's political issues here and so forth. But, you know, again, they joke or they laugh when they think these small lifestyle changes are going to get rid of the problem in you. Like, these are systemic things. And as a human race, we're...
Will testosterone replacement or adding more or supplementing it for yourself remove these microplastics?
It won't remove it, but you're not solving a core issue in that sense, right? So you're not going to restore your natural T levels because these other issues are still at play. Yep. But you're giving the body the, let's call it, fuel that it needs, right?
What it needs.
So you're still able to, let's get, circumvent some of that damage.
Yeah. What would be the solution for like being able to detox your body so you get rid of all these microplastics?
I mean, there are therapies out there that people are using, whether it's like EBU or plasma exchange, right? Where they actually take, you know, your blood out through your body, run it through these filters and put it back in. So there are therapeutic interventions that are aimed at reducing the toxins in your body, but are they scalable? Like, if I look at how do I solve just, you know, let's just solve the US health crisis, right? Can I do that? The answer is no, right? So you have to think about what are sort of the most natural interventions that can solve or help the preventive care equation.
Do you think it's forcing people to go back to like having their own vegetable gardens and eating from the earth rather than going and buying things from shops?
I think it's helping force that discussion, and people are thinking about it. I mean, again, I'll share personally. I'll think about, okay, my chicken consumption, right? So I think an organic chicken raised here for consumption in the US is like, I think it's alive for like 12 weeks or maybe 8 to 12 weeks, something like that. And yep. A non-organic is like 2 weeks, right? That's time from like breeding to consumption at large. So yep. Have I like explored local farms that are just totally off this grid, and maybe I can try to do that. But it's so hard, right? Like, honestly, like my yep. schedule doesn't, I need to go to the grocery store that's 2 miles down the road. I can't pre-plan sure. everything, right? So again, it's forcing this discussion, but is it realistic like to happen? I think the next best thing, which is the discussion right now, is the discussion around ultra processed foods. So if you're moving away from them into still whole foods, right? I mean, you know, yes, your vegetables, your meats, et cetera. That's a good step. I don't think you can go from A to Z in one shot. We have to take incremental steps here.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is pretty challenging when it seems like so many people are struggling. But obviously, you know, having something that can supplement and can support your health obviously is very important because, you know, yeah, maybe sometimes for a lot of us, it's too late. Like, we've been struggling for so long. It's just like, man, I need something now, like, because I've just not been aware, or I've been, you know, not looking after myself. So what are some of the things that actually people heal or you know, overcome because they use testosterone?
So what we like to say is there's often an upward spiral, right, on testosterone therapy. And again, this is not what it's indicated for. If you look at our label, if you look at, you know, Kysotrex, for example, it's indicated for men with low or no testosterone due to certain medical conditions. That's what it says, right? So this is not an indication, but, you know, you see what happens to patients. And that's why I refer to it as an upward spiral. So one of the symptoms that you may have is that low energy. You get on, you know, you potentially get on testosterone, you start feeling better, you have that energy, you go to the gym, you start exercising more. You might take, maybe start easy, you walk more in a day. You take your steps from 8,000 to 10, or forget 8,000, probably like 2,000-3,000 up to 8,000. And you start feeling better, right? That starts releasing other chemicals in your body that are positive. Then you say, okay, I'm feeling better. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to try, right? Like, I mean, talk to patients and see how, again, this is anecdotal, but how it affects their mood, how it affects their lifestyle choices, how it affects their relationships, right? These are all real things. It's hard to capture in data and prove them out. But when you have tens of thousands of N of ones telling you similar stories, I think there's merit to it.
Yeah, it's, you know, but it's good, you know, it's good to know that there are these kind of options, you know?
There are. And what I'll say is, right, like, that's also why this has become, again, I talk about a passion project, because it's such a large problem. And part of what we saw was saying, okay, how do we solve this problem at scale? Right? You have 25 million people here in the US, just men, about 20 million females that are low testosterone, but only 2 million are in therapy. And that's primarily through injections, right? So how are you going to solve this problem at scale? It's just a fact that most people would prefer an oral capsule, an oral pill. It's just in their routine. We're used to taking supplements. It's not invasive. So if you really want to solve this problem, you have to address the millions of people that are never going to inject themselves. It's just the bar is too high, or they might do it for a little bit and then they're going to drop off because there's going to be injection fatigue, right? Or there's going to be swelling around the injection sites, or, you know, host of reasons why that they're not going to continue. So the best therapy is the one that you can adhere to. And that's why this has to be solved via capsule.
So you're saying that it's not the testosterone that your company sells is not in vials and injected. It's a oral.
Yeah, correct. It's a pill. It looks like a fish oil capsule.
Right. And how effective is that? Is that a lot more effective? Because from what I've learned myself and from conversations I've had with other professionals, obviously injecting it is where you directly, obviously, you know,
yeah, well, your blood. It's going, you know, an injection is going to work, right? Like that nobody can argue with. Kysotrex is, you know, and through our data, our trials, right, 96% of guys return to normal levels. And what's also important for people to know, especially because, yes, people wonder, is it as effective as an injection? We, on an intraday basis, right, because you're taking this daily and you're actually more closely mimicking your natural circadian rhythm because testosterone is produced every day, you're hitting on average 1,000 nanograms per deciliter intraday. And that's a very good level, right? And I think that's what's important for people to realize is the difference is, you know, when you take an injection, even if you're on it on a weekly basis, right? Some people take one injection every 2 weeks, but you're going to a super physiologic high, way above normal, right? And you're going to ride there for a couple days before then you come crashing down. That's two things. It leads to two things. One is a higher side effect profile, and that's what causes elevated hematocrit levels, which is your red blood cell count, but potentially causes higher estrogen because your body's compensating for that. It also lowers LH and FSH, which are the signaling hormones from the pituitary, down to undetectable levels because the body's saying, look, I got so much testosterone, shut it down, right? We don't need to do work. And that's when you see testicular shrinkage, right? Don't love it, right? So, because again, you have levels that are too high for too long. Mm. So what Kysotrex does is deliver a daily dose that makes sense for that day, not for 3 days from now, right? And I think that's really a big difference that you're going to see start to play out much, much, much more as the data is understood.
So is this something that just the general public can buy, or do you have to get a prescription?
So you have to get a prescription. This is not a booster, right? It's not a booster. It's not something you get at GNC. You need a doctor. You need labs. So what we did was different when we launched. We knew this needs to be more direct to patient approach. You know, the medical community was still a little bit behind. I think that's changing, which is really good. But patients need to be empowered with how do we get this? This is good for me. This is interesting. So that's why we introduced it as a cash only product. We said we're not going to go through insurance because that's going to create tons of barriers that patients are not going to get through. And that our goal is access. Our goal is patients. So how do we help a patient? And counterintuitively, it was to go via a cash route, but make it affordable, right? And then we also went into digital health. So we've partnered with a number of companies to go digital so folks can learn about it, go online, get a blood test, have a physician consult. So still get a great level of care and from a specialist, and ultimately still start therapy if it makes sense. So we've provided and created these different routes. I mean, we were direct to patient, honestly, before the GLP-1s, Lilly and Novo. Marius had done it 2 years before them.
Who should not take testosterone?
I mean, if your levels are normal, right? You're going to do a blood test and see, and your levels are more, you know, normal or more, right? And maybe you're symptomatic, then testosterone may not be the problem, right? But it's also important to know there's a metric, it's called free testosterone. This is what we should really be watching, because free testosterone is what is available to the body to use. And that's only about 2% of what your total circulating testosterone is. Often in a lot of men these days, it's even like 1.5%, 1% of what your total T is. So that's really the metric that I think you want to be able to follow and understand, because, you know, you might have normal T or slightly normal T, but your free T could definitely be low. And that's because of a binding protein called SHBG. Uniquely, Kyzotrex does lower SHBG, so we increase free T, let's call it preferentially. And again, we think that drives a lot of the symptomatic relief.
Interesting. So if you want to get access to this, but the medical professional doesn't want to give it to you, then how do you get it? Like how do they recommend your product? If someone's listening to this podcast, they're like, oh, this sounds like a good idea, or shit, I need to get some of this stuff. Like if, you know, whose decision is it?
Right. So, I mean, look, I'm a believer, you know, everybody, you know, decision ultimately lies with the individual, right? So if you're educated enough and figured out the problem, like you should be able to address your problem. But say, look, your medical professional, say you have your current doctor and you do like him otherwise, right? So you have either two choices. They listen to your concerns and investigate, right? And come back with a true answer versus saying, you know, versus a lot, you know, versus brushing it off and saying, no, you don't need it. You know, we welcome that. And we like to, you know, help educate all of those professionals on Kyzotrex, for example. And then that could work for that patient. But if they feel, just like in female healthcare, if you think about the explosion of digital health on that side, on the perimenopause, menopause side, there have been companies that have grown tremendously because the traditional system wasn't able to help through these periods for females. Similarly for males, that's why we have these digital pathways. So it's not to circumvent your doctor in that sense. It's just to provide an expert in hormone therapy to address your concerns and needs. I think that's a better way to look at it.
Charlotte, have you been to like medical school, or what are your like credentials and stuff? Because obviously you're talking, and a lot of things you're saying, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I hope people understand what I'm talking about for sure. And you know, so it's a fair point. I think, you know, we need to make things simpler for you know, everyone to understand, and again, make decisions on their own. But no, look, I've been doing this for 10 years. On testosterone specifically, brought a drug through phase 3 trials, brought a drug through FDA approval. I started a nonprofit. It's called the Testosterone Project, to focus on education and advocacy. And that's independent from my role as CEO here. I've spoken with experts, you know, across the globe on this issue in depth and many, many times, right? And that stems from traditional medicine, urology, endocrinology, through to some of the top longevity experts as well, right? So I have a really good understanding of the entire spectrum here. But that to say, I'm not a doctor. I actually have a finance background. And again, I was just drawn to this space, and I saw so much of a gap in what the understanding was versus the truth, and trying to close it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. So pretty much you've studied an extensive amount of, like, obviously, you know, research and information about it that, you know, obviously now you...
I've read every paper. I mean, honestly, like I read the papers, right? I read the research. Yeah. And I talk, and that's when I have these discussions, and I talk to the experts or the people that wrote them or ran the studies, right? Like, you know, so we've gone very deep in this, but there's always more to learn. I'm not saying I know it all, of course, and this continues to evolve, but you have to, if you want to understand this and sort of educate the way that I do want to, you have to go and do the core work.
Awesome. Well, Charlotte, you know, thank you so much for coming on and being on the Luke Mindpower podcast. I'm sharing your wisdom and your insights, you know, with what's happening with the world and how we can improve our health. Is there anything that you want to leave the viewers with? I mean, where can they follow you or even just get more information about this?
Yeah, so you can follow me at the Metabolic CEO on Instagram. You can find out about Kyzotrex at kyzatrex.com, kyzotrex.com. But my advice would be, you know, go get a blood test. Start there, everybody. Even if you know, if you're hearing this, if you haven't done it before, if it's been a while since you have gotten a blood test, go get your testosterone levels checked, including your free testosterone. And that's where you need to start.
Awesome. If you're watching this right now, you're listening, wherever you're listening, I hope that this inspired you. I hope that this maybe it caused you to go, shit, you know what? I haven't tested, haven't got a blood test for a while, haven't checked myself for a while. Maybe you haven't been feeling the best, and this is going to kind of spark a light bulb or an aha moment for you to, you know, look after your health and take care of yourself and check yourself. Thanks for joining the podcast. Charlene, I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely.
And guys, we'll see you on the next episode. Have a great day. See you.